Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, and welcome to episode 67. Today, we're going to talk about four different ways we could bring mindfulness into the everyday. These are specially designed and recommended areas to invest in when you don't want to do all of the hard work that comes with meditation. We are going to talk about some of the overlooked ways to just incorporate these mindfulness exercises into your everyday. So how are you doing, Muge? You ready for this topic? I know it's been a little bit crazy for you this last couple of weeks.
Yes, it has been. It has been a big mix of travel and changes at work, personal adventures. So a lot of goodness, but also hectic. So Christine, when you called out this topic, I also looked at the outline. I said, what a great timing, because I could use it personally. And then on top of that, I like the core aspects of it in terms of baking it into what we already do, as opposed to a big white Lotus style retreat that we may need to invest in, which also could be interesting potentially, but we are looking for, I think, immediate, easy, practical ways to calm ourselves and manage our stress and anxiety. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I added a little surprise extra because you know I like to keep it fresh. So there's going to be four things we talk about. First is a quick mindfulness hack that we can do from anywhere. And I'm going to walk our listeners through this. I found it pretty interesting and very helpful. The second one is really thinking about anchoring mindfulness next to things we already do in life. And there's some really good suggestions that I'm excited to share with our listeners. The third is mindful eating. And we know that we sometimes rush, I think, through fueling our bodies, but there's some good advice on how to slow down and really enjoy your food and think about eating a little bit differently, which is going to be, I think, a really fun area of conversation and exploration. And then last but not least, you know, we talk a lot about getting outside and what the natural benefits of nature can do to calm down our nervous system. And there's some interesting ways to do that, I think, a little bit differently than some of the ways I've heard. So we want to bring that to our listeners as well. So are we ready to go?
Awesome. I am ready to go. Let's do it.
All right. So I'm always just amazed at the way our bodies work and how we can learn more about them. I mean, the song Your Body is a Wonderland by John Mayer, while he's not one of my favorite artists, it really incorporates just the magic of how everything comes together. So this first mindfulness hack, it is aligned to how our brain operates and has the ability just anywhere that you are to just do something to calm yourself down. And here's how it works. And I guess the first thing to know is, you know, the difference between your left hemisphere and your right hemisphere. It's, you know, along the lines of how we talk about left brain, right brain. But your left hemisphere is associated with logic, language, and analysis. Your right hemisphere is associated with emotion, intuition, and spatial awareness. But if you want to take a moment and just, you know, calm yourself down, if you cover your right eye, you're blocking your left hemisphere. And if you cover your left eye, you're blocking your right hemisphere. So if we do this just for a minute, you know, you could just get comfortable in your chair, sit or stand in a relaxed posture, covering your left eye with your hand. This encourages activation of your left brain, the side associated with logic and language. So when you find like you're really stressed, you got a million things in your head, you've just, you know, maybe just overwhelmed, covering your left eye and allowing your right eye to take in the surroundings while breathing really calms you down. So they say, like, inhale through your nose for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, exhale through your mouth for 6, repeat that for 3 to 5 cycles. And how do you feel?
I find myself closing both eyes.
You need more practice.
I think I shut down both hemispheres. So I had hard times, and then I shut down both eyes. But then I have to tell you, it really calmed me down a bit. Like, it really grounds you because it's different.
Totally.
And then you're like, what's going on? And you're brought to the present. So I need to practice closing one eye.
Right. Yeah, because it's new. And we have to practice everything we do for the first time. Even if you practice, even if you've closed both eyes, and I'm sure many of our listeners did the same thing, that's also a way to just relax yourself, right? So you got the benefits regardless. But yeah, I think it's just a good thing that you can do anywhere, anytime. Takes no longer than, you know, 15, 20 seconds just to reset yourself. So that's the first thing that we'll cover. The next thing, these are ideas, and we talked before about anchoring in a habit into your daily routine. And one of the things, Muge, you might remember, we talked about brushing your teeth with one hand and standing on the opposite leg, just single legged. And this helps you balance. This helps you be a little bit more physically aware of your core and alternate, right? So that's like one example of of anchoring habits. So here's a couple other ones. At red lights, we have that moment of pause. And if you unclench your jaw, if you drop your shoulders, again, just take a breath. It's amazing when you develop that awareness that, wow, I do carry a lot of stress in my back. I am maybe rushing to get to that next thing. Maybe I'm not a very relaxed driver. I know my husband thinks there's a huge conspiracy against him every time he hits a red light. But, you know, working those things in can also be really helpful.
Right. Yeah. There's fitting into existing and creating some compound motion. I find that when it's a combination, as an example of cardio and strength training, it really throws your body off into a spin, and you have to readjust, which drives growth. So all the examples you gave, I think, Christina, makes us pay attention and brings us to the present. And I think all we are talking about here, probably saying all, is trivializing it, but is to pause and pay attention to where we are and what we are doing, and take a breath. So these are great examples. I think another one that you called out in our outline is, you know, just even as simple as washing your hands and taking in maybe the scent of the soap, the feel of the water on your face, on your hands, and appreciating that for a moment, and how not only it calms us down, I think, but it makes the current moment more memorable, more enjoyable. And then, you know, we can always probably remember a particular scene or a scent or a taste that we experienced that really left an impression on us. You know, creating more of those impressions on a daily basis could be really amazing. And like you said, doesn't cost anything, doesn't take that much time, but we do need to remember to pause. Yeah.
I love the example of the washing of your hands. I love cold water on my wrist. And I always will do that a little bit longer. And even if it's 2 or 3 seconds, you know, you're getting a little bit of a lift. And I think there's a little energy jolt too, kind of like wakes you up. It's kind of refreshing. Yeah. So here's one that I'm guessing a lot of our listeners don't do. I've never done this. I'm going to start thinking about it. But before you turn on your computer, take a breath and set an intention. How do I want to show up today?
Right. That's a really tough one. I think the computer or the devices, any device, phone, and it's especially, I think the phone is even more dangerous because, am I going to spend a bunch of time scrolling? And if I do, what am I doing it for? How long and why? And really having a bit of a plan and intention around it. So I have never succeeded in this, but it is very interesting and tempting to try. So for me, it is 0 to 100, either the computer is on or off. And when it's on, it's on. And when I turn it off, it stays off. So it's like, it's hard to master this a bit, while using the device, but, I think, I can understand the appeal. One thing that, helps me is, to walk away from it, go open the door, look outside, take a breath. And we are at this time, as an example, in Texas, magnolia started blooming. Mm-hmm. So you just take a look at it, you appreciate it and come back. I mean, that pause makes a difference.
Totally. And I think you can flip that exercise to the end of your day. Like, how do I want to show up with my family when I am closing the laptop, right?
Right.
What does that look like? And Muge, I know you have an interesting way of separating yourself from work and life.
Yes, that's right. So for me, what works, and this started more in the pandemic era, and it still stays with me, is I dress up a bit in the morning for my work. I work from home a lot, but I still dress up a bit, at least the top part for video calls. and then at the end of the workday, I change into whatever I want to change, maybe comfortable clothing, or if I'm going somewhere else, something fun to put on. But that transition of changing into another outfit signals the end of that particular type of time or chapter, and I'm ready to transition to the next thing. It really helps me mentally to make that transition. And I feel difference. Like if I'm wearing the same thing all day long, even if it is presentable, even if it is okay to show up in, but that if I don't change it, I feel like it's one continuous long day. So I find that to be very helpful, not to mention it makes good use of my wardrobe.
Right. Rotation is important.
Yes, exactly. Shopping in your closet, you know, you got to do that well.
Totally. Here's one for the senses. And I think most listeners who are coffee drinkers in the morning can relate to the smell of coffee and how wonderful that is for most people. They say, like, take that a little step farther. Smell it. Really smell the cup before you drink it. You know, listen to the drip of the coffee. Feel the warmth of the mug in your hand. Like, just take a little bit more time to appreciate the ritual that starts your day. You can also work in little intentions of, you know, what you want this day to be like. We used to joke in our family, you know, what kind of day are you going to have? And I would always encourage my kids to say, we're going to have a day, a full 10 instead of a score of 1 to 3, right? Like, just start to appreciate what's going to happen and maybe bring goodness to yourself with your positive intentions.
That is true. And I think I love smell of coffee, whether I'm drinking it or not. It's just something very, I think, bringing you present type. And recently I tried this blueberry muffin coffee. which is somewhat specific to Texas A&M. And I'm like, this is very nice, but you have to pause and notice it. I think the other thing that we all know inherently is how you start your day, the intention you set up, the mindset you have really sets the tone. It's really a matter of perspective, even if things maybe are not 100% going your way. Just having a positive affirmation, mantra, start intention just sets the tone. And even if we don't 100% believe in it, saying it, even that makes a difference. So totally agree with that.
Yeah, words have energy for sure. Speaking of words, here's another one. When you turn off the lights at night, whisper or think of one thing you're grateful for the day. And I think as crazy as our world can be, this is a really nice routine that we could all benefit from. You know, be appreciative that you have a nice place to live, or, you know, a warm bed, and you've got, you know, food on
and
the table.
And you have power
the
to turn off.
And you have power,
and you have
yes.
power to turn off. You have clean water that you can use. I mean, we take so many things for granted, but when we pause the thing, for many of us, much to be grateful for.
Totally, totally. All right, so here's a fun one. I think this is super fun. And it is to eat with all five senses. So most of us are, you know, either running through our meals, maybe even eating on the run in our cars. And food is one of the greatest pleasures in life. So if we could slow down a bit, and the recommendation is to try what they call a one bite meditation. And first, you know, looking at your food like it's art, like really look at the texture, really look at even the colors. As an artist, I always do like try to put colorful foods next to the ones that complement it. It's kind of a weird thing just to make things pop a little bit on the plate. Maybe you don't do that, but anyway, just look at your food like it's art, smell it, place it on your tongue, and pause. I think that's what a lot of folks, including myself, don't do very often. Chewing your food slowly, tune into the texture, flavor, sound, swallow, and breathe. Just to enjoy. Here in the DC area, I've seen they have some restaurants that are doing, you know, blindfold, really nice dinners, but you're the whole restaurant is blindfolded. And the idea here is just to use more of your senses. This little exercise, which wouldn't take any time, is your ability really to try all five in your own home.
Yeah, that's right. And I think one of the toughest things is not taking time to have your meal. So I think we are generally conditioned for productivity, for what it is that we are doing, personal or professional. And then when you eat your meal in front of the computer, TV, whatever it is, screen you're in front of, I think it really compromises all of that. That's why one of my favorite things has been a lot of the sort of cafe culture, especially Mediterranean countries, where you just sit enjoy your espresso latte. That's why they're, I think, generally astounded that we would have so much coffee to go. And they go, what's the point of coffee to go? Coffee is you sit down, you enjoy, you have a conversation. Even if you are by yourself, you just see what's going on around you. That's the point of having a cup of coffee. It is not to run with it. Mm-hmm. So I think the difference that it makes in the experience is pretty amazing. And also, it's almost like edible art type of situation, right? That's the care that goes into preparing food and appreciating that. I have to tell you, Christine, I can appreciate, especially dessert presentation. That one makes me pause, take a picture, appreciate in particular. You know, it makes a difference for sure.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Like desserts always do seem to be things that people really rally to make the presentation something. And yeah. So what they tell us, just kind of add on micro practices, is also before meals, ask yourself, are you hungry or are you just in motion? And, you know, the awareness of that is super helpful, not only to like tune into, am I overeating, but am I putting the right things in my body? Is it fuel or is it just like fun?
Right. Or are you on autopilot? Because right. It's a ritualistic thing. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And then after meals, they also say like, try and be more aware of how your body is feeling after you eat certain things. you know, if you've ever eaten a Krispy Kreme donut, like I have, it's like always great going down. But then I'm like, oh my God, my head, I just feel like huge sugar headache. Don't feel good. Why did I do it? But, you know, it's your body telling you that's not what you need.
Yeah, that's right. I think it is just amazing. Our body is without almost any education, know and respond a certain way. And we know it, we may override it. That's our choice. But when we listen to it, it always tells us what it likes, what it doesn't, what it needs. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to even listen to that requires the type of 30-second pause even to say, what am I feeling? What is the trigger? What can I do to feel better? And it is amazing. It is really telling the story that we may or we may not listen to. That's very true.
Right. Agree. All right. So now here's our last segment, and this is nature as your meditation partner. We all know, I think at this point, that nature and being in nature has an automatic way of just calming down our nervous system. And however, I would say at the same time, so many of us are driven to use that time as productivity time, listen to another podcast, maybe have a walking conference call, which is fine, everything in moderation. But if you're always talking on the phone,
unless it's our podcast, we really encourage you to listen to that as you are going for a walk in nature. That's very complimentary. Other podcasts, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, the research is not there yet, right?
No.
Yes. So here's something that you can do, and you can, you know, gamify it a bit. So when you're on a 15-minute walk, make it a sensory reset walk. And the advice is to use the 5-4-3-2-1 method. 5 things you see, 4 things you hear, 3 things you feel, 2 things you smell, and 1 thing you taste. And taste could be like what was your last bite at home. It could be something even in the air if you're really in tune with what's going on. But yeah, just seeing things, observing, reconnecting to the world around us is really powerful for, you know, sensory stimulation.
I think spending some time going for a walk, but really being present without talking to someone on the phone podcast, just appreciating the nature is really powerful. Just like our body is, I think nature also is telling us a story. Being able to appreciate it, be in amazement of it is pretty powerful. And I think, I know we have our listeners all around the world, but especially springtime, the awakening of nature, flowers, different types blooming around us, I think is a really good time to just enjoy it. You know, for some time, I didn't quite really understand or appreciate the forest bathing type of thing. People mm-hmm. would talk about it. I'm like, what is that exactly? Just spending some time in nature, I think, is very, very powerful. And again, doesn't cost anything. It could be as simple as look at the sun.
Right.
Appreciate the light and warmth that it gives us, as an example, even for a few seconds.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of which, are you planning to experience nature ritual or forest bathing? You were mentioning that to me.
I am. And like you, I was like, what is this? I mean, with all the ice plunge craziness, I was like, what is this going to be like a tub in the middle of the forest?
What the heck?
But it's actually more of what we just talked about, but a guided tour to use all of your senses. There's a place in DC called the Hillwood Estate, where a very wealthy family lived. Meriwether Post is the woman who lived there. We've got, you know, a music venue named after her. And she has apparently some amazing gardens, amazing trees, amazing, you know, land. And you go there and they'll take you on a basically a little hike. And as you're going through, you're experiencing things, you're smelling, you're tasting, you're, you know, feeling, you're hearing. And I'll let you know how it goes. It's in 3 weeks' time. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing how it goes. And it, this makes me also think about like the blind tasting experience. I think in order to experience and heighten the senses for one of the five, you may have to maybe just focus on that. And I have participated in the past. This was also a little baffling to me in the beginning, this sound bath.
Yes,
ocean.
I've done that.
So I'm like, what is that? So it's actually quite a bit of art to it, and it can be really calming. So what was your experience with that?
So I've done it three times, two times at a yoga, two different yoga retreats offered a sound bath experience. And then I actually had someone come to my house and we did it for 12 of my girlfriends. And one of the women actually to this day says that she is not suffering joint pain in her hands anymore. So she feels like it was somewhat healing to her. It was really interesting. I just think it makes you sleep and really relax.
Yes,
a couple of people fell right asleep, which was kind of fun.
So that's I mean, that could be a little harder to orchestrate yourself, but I think when you have a chance to experience it, I don't know what it is. I'm sure there's a science behind it. It's the frequency of the sound or sequence. It is actually quite calming, and then it just targets the, you know, hearing senses in ways that we wouldn't have in other ways. So it's just incredible. The science of it, the impact of it, it's definitely something to consider on the bucket list.
Totally, totally. The woman who came to my house, she was a yoga teacher and trained in a lot of like holistic medicine, and she said that some of the sounds you might connect with more than others, and the sounds that you really don't connect with, you actually might need more than others to balance out what's going on.
Okay.
So that was kind of interesting. So I would say if you haven't experienced that, try it. I think it's super fun, can be relaxing, and just in the novelty of life, trying new things is always great.
Right. That's right. I think just trying it out and see, we are all different, which experiences give us the effect of being more in the present, taking a moment to observe and reflect without a fight or flight response. That would be a good thing. So the other thing I'll say, Christine, is in our gym near us, they are installing a cold plunge pool. We'll see how that goes, but that seems to be also taking off. So just I think different ways to bring you to present.
Totally. So hopefully in all that we covered today, bringing home the message that you don't need more time, you don't need a better routine, you just need to pause kind of right where you are, try and incorporate these things into habits that you already have, and make those habits a little bit more powerful in terms of a mindful connection. And hopefully we have the opportunity for folks to try it. And I'm sure there's others in our listenership that have their own habits, and we'd love to hear from you. So emails are christine@refirement.life and muge@refirement.life. We'd love to learn, you know, what you're doing that's working, and certainly just hear what you'd like to see more of in the podcast. So any closing words, Muge, before we sign off?
I think the closing word is I want to try the left-right eye practice. That stayed with me. I want to give that a try.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I like the red light. I'm gonna try and model that for my husband so he also might do it. It's been years together. I don't know if that'll ever work, but I know that there's good benefits there. All right. So thanks everyone, and we're gonna sign off until next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.